Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, week two of two in the Hawaii swing at Wailea, and a streaky player gets another W on the PGA Tour. We've got other golf headlines from around the world as well, and a little bit of RV life that we need to explain from the PGA Tour. The Netflix PGA Tour docuseries has released the trailer, and we're here to break it all down. Plus, we're tuned into Cheeseburger and Glass Onion. And this week's guest, we have our friend Alex Bush from Boris Golf. You hear us talk about the glove all the time. We talk about the technology and what it took to create this brand on his own as well. And it's our January diet updates and a new restaurant for Michael when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. I'm looking forward to seeing them next week at the PGA Show. And Desert Fox, as you know, is the maker of the Phone Caddy. But now, for those cigar aficionados out there, you can now add the cigar holder to your cart side setup when you play all 18. It's the only way to keep that cigar safe, along with the phone and all the other accessories you need for your round to be that much more enjoyable. So check out DesertFoxGolf.com. Also, check out DesertFoxProducts.com. Promo code is Course of Life to save 10% off. Again, promo code Course of Life to save 10% off everything they have to offer at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Boris Golf. I'm Michael. He's Alex. And Alex, it was the Sony Open in Hawaii at Wailea, a course that, as you said last week, you have fond memories of playing on the video game console back in
the Yes, day. How great was that clip I put on Instagram, by the way?
I mean, it was classic.
The 1997 graphics on Wailea Country Club from N64. Classic. Lots of memories there. So yeah, I knew the course like the back of my hand. That's correct.
We were kind of salivating on Thursday at the end of the first round as Jordan Spieth and Taylor Montgomery were tied to the top of the leaderboard.
Our friend of the show, yeah.
Big friend of the show, Taylor Montgomery. Easy money, Taylor Montgomery, as we call him now. And Jordan Spieth did a first. He led a tournament and then missed the cut after the first day.
That was pretty crazy to see, yeah, because we were so focused on Taylor and his performance throughout the rest of the week that it took me till Sunday to realize that Spieth had set some history in a really bad way, going from first to missing a cut. Definitely, like you said, something we'd never seen on tour.
Yeah. But Siwoo Kim ends up taking the W, his fourth win on tour. He wins by one stroke over Hayden Buckley. If you haven't heard of him, that's okay. He's new. Siwoo Kim, known for hitting drivers off the deck. That's kind of one of his marquees.
That's a cool little marquee, by the way, too.
I know. It really kind of is. So fourth win now on tour. He's a surprisingly good golfer when he decides to be good.
Yeah, quite streaky is the word I put on Siwoo Kim. He had that unbelievable chip in to solidify things, and it was very impressive down the stretch when he needed to be. You know, he's just one of those players that's a little bit of enigma, especially for the golf betting community, because we're always looking at trends and looking to find guys that are due or rising, or their performance are getting better, or the analytics are trending to show us he's going to perform. And Siwoo Kim traditionally provides none of that. He wins with little to no form and at seemingly random moments, and I think he did that again. But shout out to him for striking lightning for now the fourth time on the PGA Tour.
Yep. Speaking of Taylor Montgomery, he ended up finishing 12th for the week.
Love it. Again, top 20 Taylor. That's the sixth one of the season 20. Now.
I know. Let's look at your other picks. Because Nate Lashley, also a former guest on this podcast, after he had his W a number of years ago.
That's right. Yeah.
One went on tour. The journeyman with the amazing life journey. He finished seventh. So top 10 for him. Since that W, he's had a number of top 20 finishes on tour for the last couple of years. So he's had a pretty good kind of late.
Enough to keep his card around since we last talked to him a few years back. A couple other guys that are for previous guests, Dylan Wu and Austin Trussell, who Monday qualified. They both missed the cut, but we'll see them again soon on the tour for sure. And one other headline I want to get to from the press conferences at Wailea, Mike, had to do with Jordan Spieth. He did have the first to miss cut rarity performance there. But the real headline he dropped is that Jordan Spieth and the Spieth family, wife and now baby, they are going to be an RV family. family, when they get back to the mainland for the West Coast swing and the Florida swing, they're going to go week to week and take the bus on the road from tournament to tournament. Your thoughts on Spieth going to RV life here for the next couple months?
Are we low on cash? Are we trying to just save money here? I'm pretty sure that Jordan Spieth is flush with cash just because of his success as a golfer and his deals going on. So I don't understand why we're going to confide ourselves to an RV.
So first off, Mike, ready for this? Yeah. What wife's idea and plan? Okay.
Well, if the wife wanted it.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Okay. You're backing up already. Good. So wife idea and plan wanted to bring the family on the road was kind of the sentence he was laying on in the press conference. So he wanted to bring the family on the road, keep everything really close to home and couldn't be any closer than on an RV. I'm guessing this is not your father's or grandfather's RV. You may have walked in once before in your younger years. This is probably the real deal. He's hired a driver and everything. So I'm curious to see if we ever get a tour of the thing to see what it looks like inside.
Oh, I'm sure we will. If we don't get a tour, then I'm crying foul. I completely expect a
hopefully
drone.
That'll be upcoming content fact, for golf.
I want to see a drone fly into the RV and kind of fly around like we've seen.
we've seen crazier things with drones in recent years.
Yeah. It's true. The other big thing that dropped this week in the world of the PGA Tour was the teaser trailer for Full Swing, the Netflix docuseries where they were filming all last year, had no idea that they were going to be filming during the Live Golf saga that would kick off and the amazing drama that would go on tour. The teaser trailer, though, is very light on that aspect of what happened during this past year, which makes me question whether this docuseries will actually include a lot of it, because that's the story I want to see.
No, right? I think they're going to go in on it, Mike. I think they're just going to slow play you a little bit. I think they're really following in the F1 Drive to Survive footsteps, and they want to follow that exact same mold. So they're really going to start and keep it athlete, team, coaching centric and really go into that life. And then I think with time, fortunately, because of the way 2022 worked out, it really didn't become a big story until the spring or summer months. So they have a little bit of time before things got crazy with the Liv controversy to at least introduce the players and the stars. But they've got an equal amount. If you took a look at the cast that was revealed, a pretty equal amount. There's at least three or four Liv defectees that were filmed for the entirety of this docuseries, which is going to be good because we're going to get to see the behind the scenes of them making that decision and also of the guys that didn't make that decision and decided to stay with the PGA Tour. That's really the crux that I hope does get highlighted. I think your concern is going to get quelled with time as the series goes on, though.
It better be. Yep. It drops on Netflix February 15th.
That's going to be awesome.
I'm going to say it right up front right now. I don't know. I'm assuming they're going to do a full season drop, like 20 episodes.
Oh yeah, we got to discuss that actually. This is fun to discuss because we always talk about this and tuned in with everything else outside the world of golf. Let's talk a little bit of drop. Is it going to be a few at a time or full season? All reports seem to indicate, I think it's going to be a full season.
Netflix does. Netflix drops everything unless it's a contract with whoever they have. Like British Bake Off is because they're airing at the same time it's airing in Britain. So I expect a full drop. That said, I don't binge. I don't do that. So we're going to have to do a like episode every week kind of thing here.
I will do one episode a week with you. I can tell you this might be one of the few things, and you know me, Mike, I am like the anti-binge guy. I am like recording weekly cable sitcoms and watching them once a week for 22 minutes. Like I am that guy. I might binge this one. I haven't anticipated content from Netflix in a long time like this. So we'll see once February 15th rolls around.
All right. So February 15th for Full Swing on Netflix. Let's jump around to the other tours out there because it is January. It is a new year. Things are happening. The DP World Tour held their inaugural Hero Cup, which was held in Abu Dhabi.
It was in the desert out there, and it was Ireland and England against basically the rest of Europe. Fun little team competition they put together. I was having some coffee with it this past week, so I saw some clips in the morning. It was a nice way to wake up and watch. But yeah, just a little miniaturized AAA version of a Ryder Cup or Solheim Cup, essentially is what was going on within the confines of the DP World Tour.
I wonder if the DP World Tour was like, and Europe was kind of like, hey, US has the President's Cup where we don't get to play in it. I guess we need our own thing where they can't play with us.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to watch. There were some pretty good pairings out there. I saw Shane Lowry hit some good shots, and there was a pretty good field for a limited amount of guys. Obviously, with the team competition, Continental Europe ended up winning. Nice little coffee and DP World Tour to get the schedule going again for my mornings.
That's true. The question is, so Francisco Molinari, who led Team Continental Europe here, future Ryder Cup captain?
Definitely. Yeah, man. He's been around a few teams now at this point. I feel like he's definitely waiting in the wings. He's been part of that contingent, you know, for the last 10, 20 years. It's brought a lot of success to Team Europe. So he's on the short list, if nothing else.
The LPGA is starting off their season this weekend with the Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions in Orlando. Danielle Kang is the defending champ from last year. Big season for the LPGA Tour this year. Huge.
It is, yeah. And this is making a lot more sense that this event's in Orlando, because next week when I'm at the PGA show, there's a really good LPGA Tour contingent there next week at the show. I won't give away too many spoilers, but we got some LPGA content coming next week at the PGA show. So I'm looking forward to that. And Danielle Kang, Mike, you'll appreciate this, is doing some sort of like little panel discussion with Jim Nance and Butch Harmon, her instructor, at Wednesday morning at the PGA show. I'm definitely trying to catch that. Hopefully I'll see the defending champion. Maybe she's coming off back-to-back victories at that point when I see her.
Maybe. That'd be pretty big. Yeah. We'll see what happens. The Korn Ferry Tour is in action as well. They're actually in action right now as we record on a Monday afternoon.
They're finishing by the time you're hearing this right now. Yeah.
It's only the second round right now. They won't finish until Wednesday, because they're doing this odd Sunday to Wednesday tournament, and they're doing the same thing next week. They're at the Bahamas. They're at the Bahamas Great Exuma Classic at Sandals Emerald Bay. That's a mouthful.
It is. It's beautiful, though. You'd say it 10 times if you saw how beautiful that place was.
I know. I mean, it's the Bahamas. What could not be beautiful?
A lot of wind as well. Sorry to see Willie Mack miss the cut. Vince India made the cut. It was a past guest on the podcast as well. But this is always a fun stay for all of our Korn Ferry friends. I saw Hagen Parkman's there as well, too. Tough job, you know, covering the Korn Ferry tour for the next couple weeks in Bahama. What you have to do, Mike, is you just have to stay the entire week in between. You know, you can't go back and forth. So unfortunately, they're just going to have to just coop up there and ride it out for the next week and a half in the Bahamas.
Oh, tough life. It's a really tough life. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. Let's move ahead and look where the PGA Tour is headed this next weekend. They're headed to PGA West for the American Express.
Yes, that's right. Alcatraz, that little par 3 green, kind of semi-reminiscent of Sawgrass, but with rocks around it. That's a fun little finishing hole. But this is a round robin event, if in case you forgot. This is formerly the Bob Hope event. Hey, remember when they had three presidents all play together in the Bob Hope Celebrity Pro-Am? 1995, Mike. Yeah. Can you name the three presidents, the three U.S. presidents that played all in this program in the same round with Greg Norman? Who do you think they were?
With Greg Norman. Wow. First of all, just help give me some. Were they current or past presidents?
Yeah, current and past. It was 1995. Okay. They had to be alive in 1995. So there's only many guesses here.
I don't know. You know, so Bill Clinton.
Yep, that's one.
George Bush.
That's two.
It would not have been Ronald Reagan.
Yep, go further back. It's a tough one.
I'm Gerald Ford.
Nailed it. 3 for 3. Oh, cool. There it was. So that was the Bob Hope. They had some crazy celebrity appearances. The Pro-Am is coming back to this event a bit, but this is known for being a round robin event. So three different courses. We do finish at PGA West. So it's kind of a kamikaze free-for-all in terms of picking guys. I just went with guys who are like good recently and putting well and like playing at this tournament. It's hard to dissect when they're playing at three different courses this week. So.
Yeah. Scotty Scheffler expected to be there as of Monday afternoon. So... I mean, Scotty Scheffler.
No, good field. Patrick Cantlay is an automatic play here. He's my automatic play. You can check out my runyourpool.com article for the full preview and full list of picks this week. But Cantlay just loves it out here. California, Southern California, desert vibes, auto bet, Patrick Cantlay. Lock it up. That's definitely one of my leave it plays of the week for sure.
Is this going to be one of Cantlay's last tournaments on tour before he goes to LIV Golf?
Oh wow, are we regenerating the who's moving to live buzz? Yeah.
I'm just asking, is Cantley and Xander Schauffele? I mean, those are the two that I'm rumored to be going. I'm surprised they haven't yet, so I don't think they are.
I thought we took the winter off for that. I thought it had to be nice, like spring weather before we got the live gossip going again or something. Is that not how it works,
sir? We'll see what happens. I don't know, man. We'll see what happens. So yeah, runyourpool.com for your Run Your Pool picks. And of course, check Twitter, Course of Life 1 on Twitter to see Alex's picks.
Yes.
I keep saying every week that I'm going to throw my picks in there too on Twitter.
I know when you're going to join me, and it's going to be for one of those epic West Coast venues that you start to like, because I know you're a little lukewarm this time of year and we still got football and you got a lot of life going on. But once we get into Waste Management and the California tracks out there, Pebble Beach, you'll start to get the itch. I know you will.
I will. You'll see. It'll happen. So that's what's happening around the world of golf. Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I finally watched Glass Onion, Alex.
Yes, you'd been saying you were going to watch Glass Onion for a while. So this is a little bit overdue, even for our listeners as well. So what's the official review?
Very good. Not as good as the first.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's my condensed review there. But I mean, Daniel Craig, always fantastic. Just an all-star cast. Daniel Craig, Edward Norton, Kate Hudson, Dave Bautista, Janelle Monáe, Catherine Hahn. Also, not to throw spoilers in there, but Ethan Hawke and Hugh Grant are in it too. So, I mean, they each have like one line.
Wow, Hugh Grant. Haven't heard that name in a while.
I know. He's still got it. I mean, he's still an attractive man, if I do say so.
Very cool. Good stuff. So that was Glass Onion. So yeah, if you like the first, then yes, go indeed and see Glass Onion.
I would say yes. Watch it if you like the first one. And if you hated the first one, then just go away. But it was a good 2 hours and change. It was an enjoyable movie. It kept my interest the whole way through. It was still very good. It just wasn't as good as the first. And there's something about a first that always is like the novelty of the first in a series. So there are some, I don't want to call them tropes, but there are some themes between the first and the second one that repeat. So it's not as, there's a nice twist on it and everything, but it was good. I thought it was good
stuff. All right. I have another food related title to my Tuned In from this past week as well too. Cheeseburger, the Netflix comedy stand-up special from Andrew Santino. Don't know how familiar you are with Andrew Santino, Mike, but he's an actor. He's been in the game for a bit. He's made cameos on This Is Us. He's been on all sorts of different television shows. He's been on Guy Code on MTV. He's been the manager on the FX series Dave with Little Dickie. But he's a stand-up comedian at heart, and he put out his hour on Netflix, and he's got some hilarious takes on everything modern going on in the world. And the Cheeseburger is basically an analogy for his life and who he is as a comedian and his fans as well. He really molds it all together very nicely. And it just made me want a cheeseburger during my January diet as well too. But funny guy, check out Andrew Santino. If you're into stand-up at all, definitely give him a look if you haven't already.
All right, let's get into this week's guest. Alex, typically after we introduce a guest, we then we talk about Forest Golf. It's kind of what we do right now.
Our friends, yes.
I'm not going to, you know, we're going to do this a little differently, because actually we're interviewing this guy named Alex, who is the founder of Forest Golf. You know, we do have a track record here of bringing on the founders and leaders of the sponsors that we have work with us, because we like to have a good relationship with them. We'd like to know what their product is and know their story. And I think it's always kind of interesting to know that kind of backstory behind a product and why they decided to create that product.
Definitely.
And you're going to get that out of Alex and the story of Forest Golf, plus his story in the game, which echoes yours, Alex. This is a little confusing. There's two Alexes. You two have similar golfing stories.
The inception is there for sure. Yeah.
It's a little odd. So I'm not even going to talk about Forest Golf like I normally would here. What I will say, though, is you can use promo code COL18. Save 18% off anything at ForestGolf.com. So COL18 saves you 18%. But that's all I'm going to say. COL18, ForestGolf.com.
Next up on the tee, we have an entrepreneur that created the Forest Golf brand. As you know, they're a part of the team here at Course of Life. We're always rocking the V on the golf course, and here to tell the Forest story is Alex Bush. Alex, thanks for joining, man. How you doing today?
Good, Alex. Thanks for having me, man. Happy to finally hop on the podcast.
Definitely. Yeah. I wanted people to hear the story about the product and what actually goes into Voris, the name itself. We'll get to all that, but I want to just start with kind of your background as it pertains to the game. I love asking people about their earliest and first memories of playing with the game, playing the game of golf. What are yours?
Yeah, definitely. So my dad, when I grew up, he was a big golfer. My grandfather was when I was real young.
Same. Yeah.
They tried getting me into golf, but I wasn't really into it. So I more or less used my golf clubs as toys in the woods, messing around, because I wasn't a huge fan of it. But I really picked up golf in high school, tried out my sophomore year, made the high school team. So I really picked it up then and then, you know, absolutely fell into it and became my biggest passion. So I played all 3 years varsity golf. And then when I went to college, I went to High Point University down south and ended up doing some club golf there. And then, you know, it's just been recreational since, but it's something that, you know, I'm happy doing 24/7. If I can be on the golf course every day, then I'm living a good life.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And High Point, that's a D1 program, correct? As well in North Carolina there?
Yeah.
So I mean, that would have been...
Yeah, I was actually going to try out for the team. I did try out, had a good first round, shot about a 75, and then kind of crumbled on the second day. So that didn't happen, but I was happy to play.
You and me, we have like the exact same story. I went to a small Division I school, which we talk about a lot in the program, Quinnipiac University, and I tried out and had obviously that one great round, and then maybe the one that may have changed my course of my college career not happen. Hey, but that's a lot of us out there. We are the everyday golfer, but we're still out there hacking around, and we love the game. It's a great story to tell, though. Let's talk about the funny angle, which I want to get into regarding how Voris as a brand and the idea got created. Let's just first talk about technology in the game of golf, because I look back to my younger days and like the first time technology in golf really blew your mind and like blew my mind. Mine was really simple. It was the rangefinder and just the idea that you could pick this device up and get like an exact distance of the hole. That was such a foreign concept to me as a kid playing the game. There was the little scoreboard in the cart before you even had a GPS golf cart as a kid growing up that might not show you the map of the course, but it would give you some news headlines on your golf cart where you were playing. I'm curious, when you look back at your childhood, what were the first like signs of technology that really blew your mind in the game?
Oh, no, I definitely agree with those two right there. You know, looking back at it, I was kind of astonished when they started doing the, you know, the GPS apps when it was, you know, 19 holes and 18 birdies, just the fact that it kind of advanced the game so much for the casual golfer, just because, you know, you had your yardages exactly and you could pick where you had to look, and you've never really had that opportunity to see exactly how far the sand traps were and whatnot. You're always playing from, you know, the red in the middle, the 100-yard marker, the 150, and then you're kind of always guessing from there. So that always blew my mind, because like you said, when we grew up young, high school, even college, I don't even really remember much technology being in the game.
Yeah, we're in that similar generation for sure. It's it's an interesting story to tell, the way the generations change with technology and how everything has morphed. And with those apps that you talk about, it's fascinating, because what those apps allow golfers to do is kind of like tell their own story. They get to like put themselves on a leaderboard, you know, put themselves on their phone, track their stats as if they're a PGA Tour player. And I feel like it kind of really livens up the event of playing. And it's not just, oh yeah, I shot 100 and something because I stink. Well, no, but what did you actually do, and how can you quantify that into stats and make yourself better? That's really changed the way I feel like a lot of people have thought about the game as well.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree with that. You know, it like you said, it allows you to get better, see where you're at, but it also allows you to kind of, you know, compete in a way. You know, if you're not near your friends and you're still out golfing, you guys can see each other's scores and like, oh, he's getting better, I'm competing, I'm getting better. So it allows like some friendly competition still, which I think was awesome.
Very cool. All right. So everyone's wondering, all right, how are we connecting this to a freaking golf club? Okay. Let's explain how this and how Voris was born and the idea of what how the golf glove plays a role in these apps and these on-course experiences on your phone that golfers are so readily, you know, looking for and using while they're playing. How did that all play into, you know, the birth of what is now Voris Golf?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm from upstate New York, small town called Oswego, where snow winters are more abundant than the golf in summers. And once we got into college, they kind of came out with those winter gloves that had the touch phone technology in it that allowed you to, you know, use your phone without taking your hand out and freezing.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, I was used to that. And then kind of like we were talking about, as the technology came into the golf world, you know, using the apps and everything, I started to notice that with our gloves, especially me being a lefty, so my gloves on my right hand. So, you know, texting with that on is a lot more prevalent than maybe for right-handed golfers. But, you know, I noticed texting was annoying. You know, you'd miss a text here and it just wouldn't come through. So I kind of noticed that with every glove I tried. And then I kind of just came back to my roots of those gloves in the winter. I was like, that's a genius idea. I've never seen that in a golf glove anywhere. I don't know why anyone doesn't do it. You know, the technology is picking up, whether it's the smartphone on your, or the screen on your phone, your watch, you know, the golf carts have them now. So that's kind of really where all fell in. And I designed the through touch concept from that.
That's fascinating, because if you think about it, I'm even kind of a traditionalist in that I take my glove off for putting and chipping around the green, but that still means I have my glove on 80, 90% of the round, which is 3-4 hours consecutively, you know, and that time there's obviously going to be looks and touches to my phone. So it's funny how that all played in with the idea. So tell me about your history with golf gloves, because I can tell you, and I'm sure a lot of people out there are moaning when they talk about history with golf clubs, but every time I buy a golf glove, this thing rips immediately. talk to me about the actual Voris glove and how you designed it to be a resilient glove that actually works, in addition to being technology friendly as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone kind of has the same issues with gloves always ripping. You know, you can buy the $13 ones, do try and save some money because you know you're going to rip, but they don't last. You know, you got one round or whatever, or you go
right.
And buy $30, $40 gloves and they still rip. And it's kind of part of the golf glove thing. You know, it's eventually going to happen. People got different grips and strengths and everything like that. But I wanted to focus on finding a glove that was premium Cabretto leather, you know, the top quality, 100%. There's a lot of synthetic gloves that, you know, might last a little longer, but they don't have that second glove feel, that second skin feel. So we really focused on finding the thickness that we thought would give you the best feel, but also hopefully the longest durability. So we tried, you know, different thicknesses for months and different styles. We tried some synthetic. And then the manufacturer we work with, we settled on the premium quality we have with Voris. And we keep getting good reviews with it. I love it. I've had gloves that lasted almost a full summer, which is rare in the glove world. So we're really happy with what we came up with.
Oh yeah. And thanks to you, I've created a new system now. I've basically benched my traditional white gloves for just practice sessions only. And the Voris is my gamer now. So I'm bringing that when it matters the most. I'm enjoying using it. I'm curious. People want to know what, you know, where is the through touch technology in the glove? Can I geographically on the glove and the hand explain kind of where the through touch technology is and what it allows you to do with your fingers on your phone?
Yeah, definitely. So when we first started designing it, I was going to originally just put it on the thumb of your glove hand. You know, it seems like a lot of people will text mostly with their thumbs and everything. But then, yeah, you know, I've noticed, you know, sometimes you're using your pointer finger to do stuff.
That's scroll. Me. I'm a pointer finger guy. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people pointing on their phone. So we decided to put it on the thumb right at the tip and on your pointer finger right at the tip. It's about a half inch piece of fabric that allows the heat from your thumb to press through the fabric and transfer on and use the screen. With leathers, synthetic things, that heat transfer doesn't happen. So that's why you have the issues of not working, skipping text, stuff like that. So that's where it allows the through touch capability.
Yeah, it's very cool. And check out on Instagram, COL Podcast and Voris Golf as well, and follow along too, because I'm going to do a post that illustrates just that point that you mentioned. And that's a big one, because I know people are going to come back and say, oh no, I'm this type of texture, so this isn't going to work for me. Exactly. You covered both grounds there. So nice work on that, Alex.
Definitely. We've actually gotten some people say, hey, I'm a right-handed golfer. I don't text with my left hand. And then they've come back and they're like, oh, I kind of realize, you know, sometimes I use two hands. Sometimes I just have my left hand free. So it does turn around, and you know, it's definitely very usable for every golfer.
Yeah, lefties and righties alike, for sure. Tell everyone a little bit about the word and the name Voris Golf. You know, it's funny, there's all these golf brands out there in the stratosphere, and people just kind of take a lot of the names at face value and never really actually kind of take the 4 extra seconds to stop and ponder what the name is. Tell everyone the meaning behind Voris as it pertains to the brand.
Yeah, definitely. So I have a big German heritage. My Oma, which is grandmother for German, grew up in Germany during World War II. So it's a very big history for us. And I've always enjoyed the German language. So when I was thinking of names, I was thinking of technology and advancement. And, you know, I kind of came back to German. And Voris actually means advancement in German. And I thought that fit perfectly, while also playing a homage to my history.
Very cool. Advancement, advancing the game. And that's what we're all about, advancing the game and advancing the experience on the course as well, too. You can just make it incrementally better. It invites the game of golf to all the more people in the world. So I appreciate that. And Voris, as well, in addition to the glove, tell everyone what else everyone can see on the website as well, too. Like I said, I'm rocking the V and the polos. You see the hat regularly in our content. But tell everyone what else they can check out in addition to the glove as well.
Yeah, definitely. So we've got a number of polo lines. We've worked with a company called Reprieve that we have about 4 polos. The pullovers you just mentioned that are all made with eco-friendly, 100% recycled fibers. So they're lightweight, again, eco-friendly, which was also a huge part for me in building Voris Golf, is protecting, you know, the golf surroundings that we have. We get to play a sport that's probably the most beautiful sport you can play. You know, football fields are all football fields, basketball courts are basketball courts, but you can get a different view on every golf course you play. And that's kind of where I fell in love with it. So I really want to implement eco-friendly solutions, and those polos and pullovers are exactly that. So those are some of our first polos we released, which we absolutely love. They're lightweight, durable. They have moisture wicking technology, so it's great for summer and winter. And we just dropped another line, which we call our Colored Collar Series, which is kind of trying to stand out by sticking in a little bit. I love the idea of vibrant colors, but sometimes you see some polos that maybe stick out a little bit too much. And
right, there's a line there for sure.
Exactly. So, you know, we got some cool colors, but a classic look to it. And I think it kind of connects the modernization of the golf game with the long history of it. So those are another one we absolutely love.
So maybe not like the 2010 Ricky Fowler, but maybe like the 2018 or 2019 refined, mature Ricky Fowler, right?
Exactly. It's a little bit of maturity, a little bit of crazy, you know, it's a little dialed back. I think it's a good fit for a lot of golfers.
Very cool. It's promo code COL18 to save 18%, VorisGolf.com. Alex Bosa, founder, is with us. Let's just do some quick rapid fire questions. I'm curious. I love asking the entrepreneurs this. First reaction or emotion from like friends or family when you told them, I'm doing this, I'm creating Voris Golf?
Shocked. A lot of them were shocked, and parents were happy that I was making a move to something I love and a passion. Friends, I got a lot of friends who fully endorse it. Some of my biggest customers still to this day. So they've all been on board and helping me get this far.
That's awesome. One piece of advice for someone who wants to start a golf brand, just open-ended there. One piece of advice.
That is a great question. I would say do your research and don't be afraid to reach out to people in the industry who, you know, already done it. A lot of people are willing to help. They love to see the game grow, even if it's, you know, a competitor or anything like that. A lot of people are willing to reach out, and it's a hard industry to get into. But if you talk to the right people, you can get a lot of good information, and that will make it leaps and bounds.
Yeah, the golf community, from a networking standpoint, is unparalleled. Mm-hmm. I see it all the time through the networks that you and I have created, and it just never seems to end. We all love the same game. We have that same passion. Let's talk about your game as well, too. Sure. Golf-wise, what's your one round? What is the most beautiful course you've ever played, the most noteworthy round you've ever played in your life as a golfer?
Oof, that is tough. Most beautiful course I've ever played was Torrey Pines North, I believe.
Nice. Coming up any week now on the PGA Tour here. We're going to see it very soon.
Exactly. Being on TV doesn't do it justice by any means. Sadly, the round wasn't quite what I wanted, but just the breathtaking views and the Immaculate course was definitely sticks out in my mind for sure. But me and a bunch of our buddies are actually going down to Pinehurst at the end of March, and we'll be playing Tobacco Road. So I'm thinking that might jump up there.
Ah, yes. I have seen bits and pieces of that course. Okay. Look forward to that content as well, too, and those rounds. Oh, that's going to be fun. Nice. And yes or no to music on the golf course?
Yes. I used to be no. And then kind of as I got bigger and bigger into it, now I almost can't play without music.
What is it typically for you? I go in and out on a lot of different genres, depending on my mood and vibe. What do you typically like to listen to out there?
I'm the same there. I'm a big fan of jumping around, but I love starting out with some classic rock, sneaking in some country, and then kind of going from there, seeing how the vibes are.
Yeah, what is the classic rock thing on the golf course? I don't know why that hits for some reason, but it just works. I don't know why
it just works.
And let's wrap up with our 19th hole question here with Alex Bush from Voris Golf. So you get in after the end of the round in your favorite clubhouse. What's your go-to meal and drink order?
Oof. That's a tough one. I'm a big fan of a Philly cheesesteak after a round.
Nice.
And kind of depends what I've been drinking on the course. I love me a good transfusion, as I'm sure every other golfer in the world does.
Sure, I've heard that a few times, yeah.
Yeah, if not, a nice cold Coors Light really does the job. Draft.
Nice. And I think that might be the first cheesesteak answer we've ever gotten for that question in the history of the podcast. So,
hey, they can hit correct sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Alex, thanks again for hopping on and telling the Voris story. Again, it's vorisgolf.com. Check out the brand and everything they're doing with the glove and get it for yourself as well. Alex, keep hitting them straight out there and best of luck with everything with the brand too.
Thank you, Alex, for having me on, man. Hopefully we can jump out and play around someday.
We will.
Awesome.
And we're back. Great chat there with Alex, taking that technology from a ski glove, which I have in my ski glove, which I don't ski that much anymore. But I love that way to take that technology and put it in a golf glove.
It's
and I'm
subtle.
Surprised it took that long. I'm surprised more of them aren't doing this, really.
And that's what we're here for, is like I love finding partners like this who have ideas that just make you say, holy crap, why has this not been in our life longer? Like this glove needs to have been in our life a lot longer, especially when you think about how long smartphones have now been in our life and how important they are to our lives tracking everything we do on the golf course as well. So glad to see that Alex is a partner of ours and we love supporting Voris and everything he's doing. And I know you appreciate his 19th hole answer as well.
So. I mean, speaking of things that just make sense, cheesesteak after a round. I mean, it's just, that's a great The follow up question with him, though, that you should have asked is whether it's with Cheese Whiz or not. Because
right,
he's not,
like,
I'm assuming
whiz,
not, because
some,
he's from upstate New York. So, which is also just an odd, I would expect maybe like a cheese, beef on weck if you're upstate New York. That's a very Buffalo thing.
I know there's some sort of, like local Philly way to say like what type of cheese you put on it. And I don't know that. And I know it's like Pat's or Gino's or whatever. But
Like Philly wit, I think is what you used to say, wit or So
my move is what I love, and the Philly people won't like me for this, is I love a good Buffalo chicken cheesesteak. If you haven't had one of those, get yourself one of those in your life. That's a good
interesting
move. Anyways, if you like that conversation, then feel free to hit that subscribe button right now. We appreciate the support of us at Coors Life and Voris Golf as well. Like Mike mentioned at the top, COL18. We love Voris Golf, so go there and save as well too.
Let's talk football.
Yeah,
I'm
football.
Having a great, I'm having a great week. I don't know how you're doing or if you're even paying attention, because I know your Patriots aren't even in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's late January, and we're still talking Giants football right now. Mark your calendars for this one. This is a moment here.
Oh, my God. The Giants beat the Vikings in Minnesota. A commanding victory. I mean, it was close, but still a commanding
victory. No, it was. They controlled the majority of the game, and I picked them. They were 3.5-point underdog. I picked them in the game. I liked them the whole way, the whole week, because the Vikings, they were just playing on the edge the whole season. They were the team of desperation that needed 35-point comebacks here and crazy moments there and amazing plays just to sneak by the skin of their teeth. They were due to have a game like this. The letdown was there, and then Kirk Cousins does Kirk Cousins things at the end, and wow, you did it. You stole one on the road. Nice job.
I mean, pretty awesome. The unfortunate thing is now we have to go into Philadelphia. Speaking of cheesesteak, we have to go into Philadelphia
Yeah. Giants at Eagles Saturday night. You're about a touchdown underdog in that one, Mike. You were 3.5-point underdog against the Vikings.
I mean, the one thing I'll say is that the season and the progression and how well Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley played this weekend makes me have a lot of faith that this team has figured it out.
So, that was the Saquon Barkley I texted you that I've been waiting to see for a long time. That was long overdue in all facets of the game.
If they can keep doing that and if Brian Daboll can continue to coach this team the way he has and they can pull something out, they can do another Statue of Liberty or something like that against Philly and pull out some tricks maybe. I think the Giants, if they can get past Philly, I have really good faith in the Giants. But Philly is the
this is the behemoth. This is the Everest. They have to get right to the Everest right off the bat here in the divisional round. So it's going to be quite a Saturday night indeed for that rivalry for sure. Other crazy games in the past weekend. Epic Jags comeback. I know you knew someone who was at the game. And this was a game where I had bet the Chargers and basically went to bed and just threw it on DVR thinking, all right, I already hit the finish line on this one. There's no way anything crazy is going to happen here. And lo and behold, Trevor Lawrence pulls history out of all quarterbacks.
I mean, my neighbor has season tickets to the Jags, and I've felt horrible the last couple of years for him and going down to Jacksonville every Sunday for a game. And they were there Saturday night. I have not had a chance to talk with him and find out how amazing it was to be in the stands for that game, but I'm sure it was pretty epic. The only thing I could possibly think of how it felt to be at that game is when Quinnipiac played Central Connecticut State. And the half court buzzer beater. We weren't there, but we were in the dorms. I remember that.
One of our better, just walk off college moments is just half court buzzer beater to win a game. That never gets old. That always sticks in your memory. So
that's the only thing I can possibly think of comparing. The Jags win. I mean, look at that. Speaking of Giants, not talking about Giants late Saturday. We're talking about the Jags late January.
So now they have they have to do their Everest. They go to Arrowhead and play the Chiefs, the one seed on the AFC side. And the other matchup is going to be the Bills and the Bengals. So interestingly enough, that game that got canceled because of the crazy DeMar Hamlin situation ends up just getting replayed. But basically, it's going to be Bills-Bengals for the right to play the winner of that Chiefs-Jags game after they snuck by the Ravens. Good stuff heading into divisional weekend here. I'll have my full preview up of all the games and who I like. But it was a decent weekend for me, a slightly above 500 overall with my picks wildcard weekend. So I hope to continue the momentum for sure.
I just have one more question before we move away from the NFL. That is, who has a better chance of winning in the divisional round, the Giants or the Jags? Don't tell me who you're going to bet on if you're going to bet on any of them. Just tell me who you think has.
You already know the way my brain thinks because I was I was already about to spit the lines out at you. Yeah. The Giants have the better chance to win the game, mainly because I think, and I wrote about this in my article, of the 2-1 seeds coming off the bye, I think the Eagles stand a slightly higher chance to come out flat. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to play a good game for quarters 2-4, but the Giants do have an opportunity ahead of them starting early Saturday night, where if they can get out to a lead and kind of play from in front like they did in Minnesota, they stand a chance to stay in that game, potentially pull off the upset.
All right. We'll see what happens. Again, runyourpool.com for Alex's full picks for the divisional round. Just trying to make up for a horrible, horrible regular season.
Basically, yes.
That's all we're doing at this point. Let's touch briefly on how Georgia is back-to-back champions in college football after they
waterboarded was the one I came up with the other day, actually.
Ooh, that might be a little far. That's illegal. That's not allowed.
I was wondering how you and the crowd might take that one, but that's how bad the beating was in the national championship. I was getting to words like that. Yeah.
Was this okay? We see games like this, and this is where we haven't seen it maybe as much since we now have like a playoff system, but where the national championship game is just like a joke.
The semifinals have been lit the past few years, but the national championship game has been a bit of a letdown in some of the more recent years.
Is this a result of Georgia being that much better than TCU? Is this TCU didn't belong at all? I mean, what was this really? What do you think this really was?
It stinks because I'm the champion and the cheerleader for the Mr. You know, let the little guy in, give everyone a chance.
Me too.
But when it, but look at this though. Look at what we just got right there. When the little guy gets his chance against a true Goliath, that's what actually happens. And I'm excited that we're expanding to a 12-team playoff in future years, but I fear that we might see a couple more of these in an expanded playoff. So just hopefully it's not the national championship in years to come.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Georgia for a three-peat next year. Well, you know the state wants it.
Why not? By the way, the backup quarterback came in at the end of that game and still beat TCU 14-0. Just think about that for a second.
Well, you know, just in case you thought. Real quick, Quinnipiac men's hockey still number one after continues to be unbeaten, and the women also had a W. They're still number four in the polls as well. Basketball program also. Won again over the weekend, men and women. So, you know, Quinnipiac continuing to roll the W train.
Path to March Madness for the men, Mike. I'm feeling it this year. I got a weird tingling feeling about this team this year. Okay.
It is mid-January.
Now, that was the last article I wrote on Run Your Pool, Mike, was the halfway report of college basketball. So the season's half over. So we're halfway to March Madness. So.
Oh, man, it's crazy. We're almost there. But for now, let's hashtag always end with food.
Yep, that's right. Food sipping to end every podcast. Thanks to Always End With Food, our Instagram handle, where you can find all of our lovable food content. I'm obviously in the midst of the January diet. I did find a new friend thanks to a gift card from my buddy David, who you know. He sent me a gift card to Sweet Green, Mike. Have you ever heard of or been to a Sweet Green before? Do those exist in Georgia right now?
Not in Savannah.
No, yeah. So it's a growing national chain that's getting out to more markets now, based in the West Coast, got out to here in Austin, but it's essentially a bougie salad and bowl, you know, fast casual restaurant. So we spent through that gift card and I've been working through those salads this week. That was the highlight of my week. And that shows you where the diet is. Still going strong, but very ready for the finish line, which is about a week and a half from now as you listen to this. So
You're doing much better than the wife and I are doing on the diet. We're just...
Still no bread. You know, still no bread. I've turned down bread at lots of different corners so far this month. Still no bread.
We were tired. I think it was Thursday, and we're like, let's go out to dinner or something. So, or maybe it was Friday. I don't remember what day it was. And we were going to go to Chipotle, and you get healthy options at Chipotle.
You can.
And we're walking up there, and this Chipotle is right next to a Five Guys, and the wife goes, "I really want a burger."
I mean, don't we all? I mean, burgers has rang through this podcast from Ali Khan to Andrew Santino. Yeah. I have burgers on my mind lately, in case you can't tell.
We got a burger. So.
Oh, my God. Mike, tell me everything. What did you get on and how great was it? Oh my gosh.
I got a little cheeseburger with bacon all the way.
God.
She got whatever she got. She doesn't get much. And then fries, obviously fries. So
That sounds so glorious.
Anyway, let's talk about the real thing I want to talk about with Always Have Food. That was going to a brand new Savannah restaurant called Shuck, which is a counter service Mediterranean.
Oh, nice. So, I love Mediterranean. Was it? Yeah. What do they have to offer? Where are you getting there?
So we went Sunday, kind of like early, late morning, really. So they have a brunch menu, actually. So the wife got a Jerusalem bagel with cream cheese and lox.
Oh yeah, that's always a classic. That works.
So I don't know if you know what a Jerusalem bagel is though, because I've never actually seen.
Yeah, what's the difference context there?
It's narrow. The bagel itself is very narrow and it's very long. So it's
more of an oval.
You can't read like a super long oval. This one was like maybe like 10 inches long.
Interesting.
And you don't really like, it didn't come like sliced and toasted. You just kind of rip it off. It's almost like a long bread, a circle breadstick or an oval breadstick.
Basically putting bagel in baguette-ish form. I don't hate that. I'm fine with that.
Sure. And I got a chicken shawarma bowl over couscous, and it had a little scoop of hummus and some cucumber salad and some pickled cabbage in there too. It was all very good. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have, you know, it's nice to have a counter service place every once in a while because sometimes you just don't want a server.
Oh yeah, amen to that.
You know, no offense to the service industry. I work, you know, as a restaurant employee, as a food service employee. No offense to my brethren in that part of the world, but sometimes, you know, I just don't want to deal with you.
And this is coming from two guys who like to go out to eat and do it fancy and formal once in a while. But for the most part, when we're going out, it's the fast casual counter service, $10 to $20 an entree. Let's keep it basic. Let's get in and out and enjoy ourselves. So,
yep.
Amen to that. That was always End With Food indeed. Next week, we have another great episode coming your way. And I'm heading off to the PGA show. So a lot of fun content coming. Follow along on Instagram at COL Podcast. I'm at Course of Life Alex, and he's at MWRINC. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.